Derek Keenan had won many as an assistant coach, but got his first as a head coach and general manager. Joins us now. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. How are you?
Good. What was more exciting for you, the championship or the fishing trip that you went on right after?
It's a tough call, but I'm going to have to say the championship. We've been working at it for a long time, and but I enjoyed the fishing trip too. Very relaxing, and my buddies were extremely happy that we won. More so I would have been grumpy if we had lost and had to play this weekend. So they were real happy about it too.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, you're probably much more of a fun fisherman. You might even bought a few rounds, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Derek, the series, you know, in the 2 years since they put in the best of two and best of three series, no team has ever swept. You guys were the first one to do it. You're the first team to actually win on the road. A, did you know that about that road game beforehand? And really, I'm assuming, you know, and you dominated in that road game in Toronto. Let's start there. What was the key to that game one victory for you? Was it preparation? Did you see something? Did you do something that Toronto didn't expect? Because you guys thoroughly dominated that game.
I thought our shooting was really good. I mean, that sometimes it comes down to as simple as that. I mean, I thought Aaron Bold was extremely good in our goal, and I wouldn't even say Brandon Miller played poorly. I just think that we shot the ball really well, and sometimes that's the difference. I thought our transition game in that game was excellent. I thought it was good again last Friday in Edmonton as well. I think we put a lot of pressure on them that way and I think wore them down in certain points of the game. So those were factors, but I think going back to the first game in Toronto, I just thought our shooting early on was really good.
Brandon Miller and Aaron Bold in game two. Like, Brandon Miller, you guys had some excellent looks in that first half, and Miller stoned you, and then Bold, of course, seemed to match that. But were you starting to think, man, this might not be our night? Like, he's making saves that usually goalies don't make in lacrosse.
Yeah, and you really, those are the thoughts that were in my mind exactly. Because I really thought early on we dominated them and we had just great opportunities. And our premier scorers, you know, Zach Greer had 4 or 5 point blank opportunities, and Robert Church had a couple, and Ben McIntosh had a couple. We had some transition chances that were breakaways. And we didn't score on him. You're kind of thinking, oh boy, you know, this could be one of those nights. And because he was good, he was much more patient, I thought, than he was the week before. And then eventually, I thought the goal by Jeff Cornwall was big because it broke the seal a bit and got us a little bit of confidence. But I think we were squeezing a little bit early on, and it kind of got us rolling from there.
Derek Keenan joins us. Derek, it was interesting that the trade deadline acquisition ends up coming up rather large for you. Dinsdale scores the winner with 62 seconds left.
Yeah. What a ending for that young man. I mean, he wallowed away for almost 3 years in Calgary and didn't really get a great opportunity and just kind of played a hunch that I thought he'd fit in with us, and he certainly did. And for him to get that chance and that goal was pretty special. I was really happy for the kid, and obviously happy for us too. I mean, it was a big goal. You get into overtime and it's one shot, it's game over, and you know, he scored the big goal, and then I think Aaron made a big save in the last minute as well to take us through.
You've been a head coach in the championship game before. It was never tied late like that, you know, when you lost to Rochester, unfortunately. But so it's kind of maybe experiencing different feelings for you. You're standing on the bench. There's a minute to go. Toronto's with the extra attacker on, and Colin Doyle gets left wide open, you know, on a play where they, because they have 6-on-5, so one guy's going to be open. And then Aaron Bold makes basically a championship save at that point. Can you describe what you're feeling as a coach when you watch that? Like, was that the most helpless you've ever felt as a coach?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it's funny how just prior to that, when we had gone up by a goal, I think on the Matthew shorthanded goal, I was starting to prepare for my last minute things that I take care of, you know, last minute press and clear and things like that. And I had actually put my glasses on, and Jimmy Quinlan turned around to me and said, did you have them on the whole night? And I said, no, I just put them on now. So, because I could look at my lineup card. But, and then Doyle scored and was, you know, he kind of got on his opposite side of the floor he normally would, and he just found a gap and he scored. And then in the 6-on-5, it was the exact same position, and he tried the same shot and made the save. And, you know, yeah, you really are. You're just hoping your goalie makes a save in that case, and he did, and then we managed to get the ball back eventually and finish it off.
Derek Keenan joins us. The celebration afterwards, obviously like it is for any team that wins a championship, very jubilant, but also very emotional for your team and specifically for you. I know Chris Corbeil, you know, it's rare to see the players hand the championship. The first one from the captain goes to the coach. I think that speaks what the players thought of you. And, you know, how do you sum up your feelings, Derek? You know, obviously losing your wife, Wendy, the day before the season started.
Yeah, a lot of emotions. I mean, that was something else that Chris did that, and I certainly didn't expect it. Or you don't even think about those things, honestly. Like, you know, I'm a process guy, and I never think too far ahead about what kind of celebration it might be. And then I think this, I don't know whether Corbs had planned that or not, but it certainly was an amazing gesture and brought up a lot of emotions, and I had a hard time keeping it together at the end there. But I know that, you know, his thoughts and his heart's in the right place, and I'm close with him. He's our captain. I speak with him a lot, and not only on the lacrosse level, but just in life in general. And I thought it was great that he did that, and certainly I know that you know, Wendy's there and she's with us, and she helped, you know, she helped me a lot carry through this. And I just had that feeling at the end of the game, even when you say that helpless feeling, I just kind of had this feeling that she was with us and carried us through. And it was emotional, but good emotions too. And hard, but also, you know, satisfying, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it's always good when we can find a way to get in touch with our emotions, even if it makes us a little teary-eyed, guys. We always joke that we never want to feel that way, but it always is a rewarding feeling. Did that give it even more of a sense of accomplishment because you knew how much she wanted you to win? You know, you had told, when I know when she was diagnosed in October of 2013, she basically said, you don't have a choice. You're going back coaching right away. So she knew how important it was for you. How was it when you had that conversation with your children afterwards? Just like, you know what? You know, mom would legitimately be really happy. Did that, I don't know, maybe lessen the blow for a short time?
Oh, yeah. You know, she, yeah, I mean, she, you know, they said to me, you know, she's saying, way to go, Daddy, because she always called me Daddy for some reason. I always used to say, I'm not your daddy, but anyway. So, yeah, you know, she's saying that right now. And, you know, and she said, even, you know, when she was ill, that she really wanted to see me, our team, accomplish what we did. And unfortunately, she didn't make it that long. But at the same time, I know her spirit was with us, and I feel her inside of me every day, as do my kids, and I think some of the guys in their team did as well. So, you know, it, like you say, yeah, good emotions, and, you know, we have to, they're good feelings to get out as well, and it made it, I think, that much sweeter, I think.
GM and head coach of the Rush, Derek Keenan, joins us. Derek, I know your team is celebrating in Vegas this weekend. How come the coach is not there?
Yeah, well, I have my junior team here in full flight, and I need to pay attention to them. We've had some struggles, and I haven't really been there in terms of being there physically or even mentally and emotionally, really, most of the early part of the season. So we got a lot going on there. We had a game last night. We've got a full weekend of, we call it our camp weekend every year. We get everything going. So I really had to commit to that, and I wasn't sure I wanted to see my guys in that light anyway, so it's probably a good thing that I'm not there.
That's fair, right? Because you know, the father figure in you is like, you know what? Yeah, that might be something I don't want to be a part of. He probably said, whatever you do, don't bring your phone. So that would be smart. Now we go from the celebration and that, you know, the harsh realities in sports. You have a week to celebrate. Now you look ahead to next season, and I guess we start first with the free agents. You know, very rarely in the NLL do you lose guys to unrestricted free agency. The fact that you don't even have guys old enough to be there is a good thing. But Cornwall and Billick, are those the only two guys that, that aren't under contract as far as your RFAs, or do you have some other guys you need to sign?
Well, Dinsdale would be in that group. I think everybody else is actually signed.
So. Okay.
Now, Aaron Bold's a UFA, but he's our only one eligible, and I would suspect we'll franchise him if we don't come up with something a little more creative. I would think we just franchise him. So, you know, he's a proven star goalie now in our league, and you have to have him. And so that would be probably the route we take on that. And then really hoping we can keep Jeff and Nikki Billich a part of it, because they were a big, big part of it. And, you know, the RFA thing, it's there. I mean, and there are probably some teams with some room, and we have room as well. So we think we can make it work, but we can't control what other teams do as well. I mean, you know, Buffalo a couple years ago made a pretty substantial offer with Ryan Dilks, and we matched it, and we were able to do it and stand to the cap. So, you know, we have some favorable contracts still in our group. So hopefully we can keep these guys on board as well.
Now, Cornwall, I think, would be the one that, you know, on most other defenses, he might be considered a 1-2.
Yep, no doubt. You know, and I think you put John Lentz in that category, and John, he's good enough to sign an extension there before the end of the season because he was coming up on UFA as well. So, you know, he's an Edmonton guy, wants to be a part of it. And so, you know, you could put that guy in that same category as well. So, yeah, and they're high-end guys, and we... You know, you win with guys like that, and we're proud of our defensive group. We think they're the best in the business, and we certainly like to keep them together.
Derek, speaking of next season, there's obviously the uncertainty of where you're going to play, and you know, it could be very awkward in the fact you win a championship, you have banner raising night not in Edmonton, but that's a realistic possibility because there's no lease right now. How you know, the cities out there in Saskatoon, I know that, you know, there's a lot of guys who fly in. There be any concern, do you think, at all of some guys not being happy with the team moving to another market where they might not want to play in it?
Yeah, I certainly hope not. I mean, my feelings are I'd love to see the team stay, and but I have no control of that whatsoever, as everybody hopefully knows. And you know, and then from there, the next thing I think of is I want to stay with my group, and they're a special team and special bunch of guys. So, you know, Edmonton is the preferred location, and if it's somewhere else, then I just want to be with them. But logistically, there's a little bit. I mean, it's a more difficult place to get to. Like, there are fewer flights. Even within Canada, there are fewer flights. And we have some international guys with Zach Greer from Los Angeles and Jeremy Thompson from Syracuse. So there's those issues. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, we've got our fingers crossed here that things work out. And I think with, you know, 12,000 plus in the building for a championship game, you know, we stay. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come, because I really believe we have a quality product and our players, you know, they play hard every night, and I think that's the kind of support that that they deserve. And but we'll see. I mean, I certainly hope so.
Derek, the NLL, like, there are some leagues that, you know, when they talk about expansion, I'm like, I don't think there's enough good players to expand. With the league coming in, and with the draft this year with so many, you know, the deepest draft ever, and they draft kids not who are 18 like the NHL. You know, you're drafting guys 22, 23 like the NFL that can come in, and, you know, we saw it this year in McIntosh as a rookie score 86 points. Your league, I think, is at the point now where they probably need to expand because you have too many good players not playing.
I think we could go 2 to 3 more teams without question and still have a high-quality play. You know, I think there's that many good players out there. You know, you mentioned this year's draft. Best draft ever. You know, 20 players deep probably of guys that will make rosters and make contributions right away, and some of them significant. So that's a full team. You know, and they're going to replace guys that are probably – still really good players, either veteran guys that are a little bit older or young guys that are trying to crack in. And I think there's definitely room, and, you know, hopefully we get this thing straightened out with the rush, and the expansion part of it comes sometime down the road quickly as well.
And quickly before I let you go, Derek, August 1st, is that when it starts? Teams can make an offer sheet for an RFA?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the draft is when this year?
I think it is the Monday, the week after the Labor Day weekend, I believe. Don't quote me on that one, but I'm pretty sure that's when it is.
Okay, so around the 14th or whatever.
We'll start working on that in a couple of days.
Yeah, and this year you've got one pick in the first. You're not going to get a top number one overall pick for the first time in a while due to some trade. So you'll be picking ninth.
That's right. Yeah.
Correct. And then you've got how many second rounders do you have?
I think we have three.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you know, I mean, that's great, but you know, we're a pretty good team.
Yeah. And, yeah. Where do they play?
You know, so yeah, exactly. So. You know, there's a D guy that we have on the radar we'd love to get at nine, but I don't know if he'll be there. So we'll see. And, you know, always looking to get better. At the same time, you know, last year after Ben, you know, we traded our pick that was seventh, I think. We just felt that there wasn't anything there that was going to make us better. And that was correct. You know, it just wasn't. So we'll see how it goes.
And you also get Curtis Knight back, who was your MVP last season, missed the entire year. Have you even thought of, like, how does Knight fit in? Is, you know, him and McIntosh, I don't know how similar or different they are, and it's a good problem to have, Derek, but have you sat down for fun and said, okay, like, where's Knight going to fit in on this offense?
Yeah, no, he'll fit in. You know, he's, you know, he brings kind of the Jarrett Davis element, but better scorer.
Yeah.
You know, tons of loose ball repossessions and pressure up the floor and responsible transition. And you know, he scored 36 goals last year. So, you know, goals are always welcome. And we'd probably change his role a little bit on the power play. And you know, I like Robert at the top, and it would give us that flexibility of using Curtis in the right shooter spot on a power play situation and that strong right look. And Mark and the other and the left shooter, so it gives us a little more flexibility there. And there's no question that he's a premium player, and he'll have had quite a long recovery period as well. Because I don't think he's going to play this summer, so he'll have, you know, over a year where he's, you know, he's 5 months into his rehab now, so he should be ready to go, and he'll be a welcome addition. And again, just another guy that helps us toward another championship.
How many fish did you catch?
Oh man, we actually stopped counting, and I'm not kidding you. We did. We slayed the bass, and we did really well on the pike, and we got some brook trout in the back lake, and it was good. We got a few lake trout, so it was a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Now, is it a catch and release, or do you get to eat at least a few of them?
We didn't eat any. We actually usually just catch and release, and they're, you know, some of the fish you can't keep. The bass is all release. It's a conservation type reserve, and. But, you know, you can eat some trout. We just didn't. We have quite an extensive meal plan, and we go away. So we have a pretty good plan. We've been doing these trips for about 25 years, so we have a pretty good crew and a good plan. So not really any need to eat fish. So we put them back in and hope they're bigger next year.
Well, Derek, congratulations on fishing, and more importantly, congratulations on the first championship for the Edmonton Rush. The way your team is built, a lot of people around the league expect that you guys will be a perennial cup contender for the next few years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I sure hope so.